They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
There is a good chance government statisticians are chipping away at their assessment of gross domestic product even as we speak.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Most economists agree there is no way the economy grew as much as first thought in the last quarter. Late this week, we'll know for sure how the gross domestic product will be revised. On Mondays, Julia Coronado, chief economist North America at BNP Paribas in New York, gives us a sense of the Wall Street zeitgeist. Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
I remember doing the first headlines on GDP October to December. A robust 3.2%, but you think that's too good to be true?
Yes, when they first release that first look at GDP, they don't have all the information in hand. As that data has come in, it turns out that 3.2 was too good to be true. It's looking more like 2.25 to 2.5, which is instead of the end of year boom we thought we might have had brewing, it looks like more of the same moderate growth.
It would be interesting in that context to get some nuance from the newish chair of the Federal Reserve. I think Janet Yellen is on Capitol Hill later this week.
That's right. She had her Senate hearing rescheduled because of a snowstorm. She's just back from the G20 meetings where she promised to be supportive of the economy. So we'll see what she has to say about the current state of affairs and what the Fed is going to do about it.
All right. I think that's on Thursday. Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Well, the markets are open, so let's check the numbers here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 133 points, 0.8%. At the moment, it's at 16,236. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 0.8% as well. The S&P 500 is up 9 points, about 0.5%. We've been reporting today on a deal that could alter the economics of the Internet. Netflix is going to pay Comcast to give it extra data flows so that Netflix movies don't stall out when you watch them. Comcast is the biggest cable and broadband company, and its stock is up 1.1% now. Netflix stock is down 0.6%. And there's a vote in the European Parliament today on this subject of network neutrality, whether or not telecommunications companies can offer special fast Internet service to their business partners. The medals are with the athletes who are now headed home. In a spectacular closing ceremony yesterday, the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics came to a close. The Russian government is congratulating itself on shining in the international spotlight. These Winter Olympics did cost a stunning $51 billion. Joining us from London is my longtime Marketplace colleague, Stephen Beard. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
What do you think? Did the Russian president get his money's worth?
For staging a sporting event, I suppose possibly. I mean, after all, the International Olympics Committee called it an excellent Games. But as a showcase for Russia, as a PR event, it was, of course, totally overshadowed by the turmoil in Ukraine. And the Sochi Games, as you say, were phenomenally expensive, and there was a great deal of waste and corruption. An opposition report in Russia said about $30 billion went missing. Whichever way you look at it, not great value for money for the people of Russia.
But money did pour into this region along the Black Sea that must have some economic benefits.
Yes, undoubtedly. And the plan is to turn Sochi into a year-round sporting, tourist and business conference destination. It's a very mixed picture when it comes to the Olympics and economic legacies. For example, much of the Olympics infrastructure in Athens is today crumbling and decrepit, largely because of the parlous state of the Greek economy. While the Olympic Park in London, it does look as if that may well pay dividends, thanks largely to the booming real estate market in London.
What's your feeling about future Winter Olympic Games? Has this ushered in some new era of big spending to prepare for those?
Spending may have peaked with the Sochi Games. Planned Winter Olympic bids by Germany, Switzerland, and Sweden have all been pulled because of public concern about cost. But as well as being a great fun sporting event, hosting the Olympics, of course, is the ultimate political vanity project. So who knows? We could well see Olympic costs scaling even greater heights in the future.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Have you ever heard the one about the doctor, the bartender, and the lawyer? A new report today in the Journal of Medical Internet Research, there is such a thing, monitored the jokes that we make on Facebook about doctors and healthcare in general. From the Health Desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports, while the jokes aren't all that funny, they are revealing.
All right, here's a joke.
Matthew Davis is with the Dartmouth Institute of Health Policy and authored the report.
Now, there's two different patients that both need a hip replacement. The first patient gets care right away. The second one, you know, gets treated a month later. The first is a golden retriever, and the second one is a senior citizen.
Ba-dum-tsh. Davis knows many of the 150 jokes posted on Facebook were pretty lame. The study is less about jokes, though, and more about how social media opens the door for doctors to connect to their patients, says Brookings' Farzad Mostashari.
A company like Facebook really took on healthcare and created a separate type of service, they could solve the real problems that healthcare has around communication and connection with patients and their family members.
Mostashari imagined some kind of secure feature that lets patients share vital medical information with all of their doctors and family. It's the kind of coordination the healthcare system is spending billions on trying to invent. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Now, some of the jokes surveyed were better. To wit, what do you call a doctor who finishes last in his medical school class? Answer, a doctor. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.